You're listening to the Guided Collective podcast, a collection of insights, information, and inspiration, connecting us to our own inner wisdom. I'm your host, Helen Jacobs.
So last week's episode proved to be rather popular with you, and I received a lot of great feedback on that episode. So thank you so much for all of your emails and the comments in the Guided Collective podcast Facebook group, which, by the way, if you haven't come to join us, I would love for you to come and join us there and join in the conversation. But the previous episode, which was episode 6, I spoke about my connection with this 1800s artist. She was born in the late 1800s, Hilma af Klint, and why I went to New York to see her work. It was really interesting, actually, not only the feedback from this episode, but some of the energy that started to swirl for me following recording that. And I had indicated that I wasn't 100% sure what was going to come next. I've got some clues and some psychic insights, but it's really very open at the moment. And the good news is that no major good news, but the good news for me is that it just felt great to get that energy swirling and moving. So that was just a nice confirmation for me too. I wanted to take an opportunity to also thank you for the reviews that you're leaving for me on iTunes. I know that I am asking you to leave these reviews for me, but it is really incredibly useful, not only for me because I can see the feedback, but it also helps for the podcast to be found by other people searching in iTunes. So would you do me a favor and leave me a review? I would just absolutely love for you to do that. I thought I'd share a couple that I've seen left on iTunes for me. This one is left by Pepstar, and Pepstar says, "Thank you for sharing your knowledge and wisdom, Helen. It's deeply inspiring and affirming for me to continue on my path and listen, look, and feel for the guidance of my soul and guides. Cannot wait to discover more with you." Well, thank you so much. I've got lots in store for you, so I hope you stick around and keep tuning in. Another one here from Rival 1981. "I've loved listening so far and found it so interesting to learn more about Helen and her personal life. I've been following her work for a number of years now and learned so much about how to tap into my own intuition. Her tools and strategies do not disappoint and are highly effective. I can't wait to follow along on this podcast journey. Thank you for sharing, Helen." My pleasure. I'm glad you're here and following along and that the tools and strategies are helping. I hope that today's episode is going to serve you well as well. I'm just flicking through them here. There's one which looks like it's from Wumble Spice. "After much anticipation, I absolutely love Helen's beautiful guidance and sharing of both hers and the sages' insight through this podcast. It's a lovely complementary resource to support the collective and my own individual forecast throughout the year. Thanks, Helen." This is so exciting to me. There's a few more there. I don't need to read them all out to you, but I am reading them and I'm really grateful if you write me a review or even just to give me a star rating. It all helps. So thank you all so much. If you are taking the time to email me, would you mind adding that into iTunes? I would so greatly appreciate it. So I wanted just to take a couple of minutes before we dive into today's episode in earnest, just to give you a little update. I am in the throes of editing the book. You can hear me sigh as I say it, right? Actually, it's an incredibly fun process. It's entirely different from writing the book. But it's far more laborious a process. So I've been working with my wonderful editor over the last few weeks as she's been working through it and making recommendations and suggestions and questioning different things that I had in there. So the manuscript has been handed back to me. And as I record this, I have 6 days to finish editing. I've done the first 10 pages and I still have about 350 to go. It will get done. But, you know, I'm also in the middle of school holidays with my eldest daughter too. So today is a work day. I have clients this afternoon. I have this podcast to record. And so, yes, the book will get done. But it's coming and it's actually really exciting to be in a different phase of the book. And perhaps there's a whole episode to come on writing the book and the different creative phases that we move through. But it's awesome to actually be at this stage and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I just spoke at the weekend at the League of Extraordinary Women's Run the World conference, which was a blast. And actually, it must have been at the start of the year or late last year, I made a list of places that I would love to speak and I pinned it on my pin board and hadn't really done too much else with it. And in any case, I ended up there on the weekend. The team that was organizing the Brisbane conference reached out and asked me to speak. So I was honored and thrilled to be a part of this incredible lineup of speakers, a group of incredible female entrepreneurs, and to be included in that group and to bring a discussion on intuition to female entrepreneurs was like my ultimate. And I'm still just feeling so excited by it. And my voice, I wasn't actually speaking for that long. I was part of a panel, but I think in all of the excitement, the travel, launching a podcast, editing my book, speaking, there's a lot of exciting stuff going on. Suffice to say, I just need to be mindful of how much energy I am exerting. So a little reminder there that as I shared in the April forecast back in episode 5, this week, as this is going to air, is about rest and relaxing. So I'm recording this a week ahead of time. So by the time this goes to air, our focus for the week is rest and relax. And seeing as I need to turn in the book edits as this goes to air, you can bet your bottom dollar that this is what I'll be focusing on this week and catching up. So without any further ado, let's move into today's episode, which is looking at 6 common mistakes that I have observed as people are working with their intuition. And so I wanted to share some of these pitfalls as they can trip us up. And working with our intuition can be sometimes difficult enough without falling into some of these traps. So let's run through these 6 common mistakes now. The first common mistake that I see is thinking, well, actually that's it, isn't it? Is that we're thinking rather than feeling. So intuition is about feeling. It is not about thinking. It's so important that we're practicing coming into our bodies. We're actually quite disconnected from our physical bodies. We're quite disconnected from our emotions and sensations, generally speaking. And so this is one of the biggest mistakes I see people make, is that they're not necessarily allowing enough time and space to connect with their bodies and to truly understand all of the wisdom that is in their body. Intuition is not a thinking exercise, and especially if you're reaching for higher guidance from, say, our spirit guides or our spiritual support team, we often can deflect and go into our heads. And this is not useful. Some of the ways that we can counter this then is by spending more and more time connecting with our bodies and through embodiment. This is really about understanding how our physical body is communicating with us and a really great litmus test for what is happening in all other areas of our life. So to be focused on embodiment and emotional embodiment and really tapping into our emotions is another way to bring us into feeling rather than thinking. By understanding our emotions, interpreting them without the story, just to allow the emotion to be present and to feel the emotion, to give it enough time and space and respect to process, is actually going to allow us to more intuitively A, understand that emotion, but also what is underneath it. The second thing that I have noticed as a common mistake when working with your intuition is that people expect intuition to guarantee an outcome. It cannot do that. Our intuition is designed to put us where we need to be to learn. And sometimes learning is not easy. And so, of course, our intuition can help guide us into really wonderful experiences and behaviors and relationships. But it can equally take us into places that our mind will interpret as painful or difficult or quote unquote the wrong place. So our intuition doesn't guarantee us easy. It doesn't guarantee us happy ever after in the way that our mind may be perceiving it. So we need to be aware that following our intuition requires a huge amount of trust that we are always in the right place at the right time. All too often, I see people with some version of a comment that sounds like, oh, I followed my intuition, but it didn't work out because. Or, oh, I thought I had to leave my job, but that didn't work out, so I got my intuition wrong. Maybe you have your own version of this too. But that's not what intuition's for. It's not that, oh, my intuition guarantees me a better job, or my intuition's going to guarantee me a happier relationship. Your intuition is going to take you where you need to go to learn. And actually, our jobs, our relationships, or any other circumstance in our outer world is only a mirror for what is happening internally. Ultimately, our intuition is wanting us to move through our inner world and to transform physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually so that we are clearer vessels rather than needing all of the interaction in the outer world and the mirroring. That's there to get us to heal. So I hope that I went off tangent there, but I hope that makes sense. So part of this pitfall or how we can overcome it is actually learning to become comfortable in the unknown. And of course, our mind doesn't like the unknown, right? Our mind wants the safety net. It wants the guarantee. But actually, our intuition is working on behalf of our higher self or on behalf of our soul. And, you know, our soul is fine in the unknown. It lives in the unknown. It resides in the unknown. And so we need to become more comfortable in the unknown and in the unguaranteed. And that requires a lot of practice and patience in surrender, and why tools like meditation are quite useful to help us come into that state. A third pitfall or common mistake is that we can confuse intuition with fear or even projection. So our intuition is not the same thing as projection or fear, but our fear can cleverly mask itself as intuition. So let's just come into some of these terms here for a minute. We know that we're tapping into our intuition, into the true guidance within us, when it is loving and expansive. Now, it may come as a form of, I guess, a tough love. It may be something that we don't really want to hear, but we know is true. It can also feel a little bit risky, that kind of expansion can feel like a stretch or taking us outside of our comfort zone. And so the true essence here to know if you're actually connected with your intuition is to check whether it is still coming from love, whether it is actually asking us to expand and to grow. Our fear, however, is wanting to keep us safe. It's often wanting to keep us small. Fear is often about how we might be perceived, what might go wrong. It's often the risk is noticeable, but it's often about minimizing the risk. Whereas our intuition will definitely be aware of the risk, but it doesn't feel like we're wanting to shut down from it. Of course, there are also times where the risk that our intuition is giving us induces fear. So we need to be mindful that we're checking into our intuition, not our fear. And then once we have the intuitive nudge, that we recognize that the fear may be coming secondary. Let me give you a little example here. And this is one that I haven't pre-scripted or thought about, so I hope that it fits the bill. But I often use the example of when I was working in PR and I knew that I had to leave. And so my intuition was, this is not the right place for you. You need to leave. And my fear was, oh my God, I don't have another job. I don't know what's going to happen. And then the readings appeared and then I thought, oh my God, what will people think of me? Who's going to believe me? Who's going to want to work with me? How am I going to financially support myself? So you can see the fear gives me all of the questions that are like, this isn't safe. What are you thinking? This is a silly idea. But my intuition, my feeling was that I cannot stay here. And it was some tough love, right? There's a tough love in this is not good for you anymore. So hopefully that illustrates the point. The tough love can come and the fear can come, but we need to focus on the truth of the intuition. And honestly, we then need a whole other series of supports in place to work through the fears. The other thing that I want to add into this particular mistake or pitfall is that often we will tie projection up with our intuition too. So what I mean by this is often we can catch ourselves hiding behind our intuition. And I cannot tell you how many times I have heard someone say, oh, I just intuitively feel that X isn't right for me because of Y. And that statement typically is a pretty good indicator that we're projecting and hiding behind intuition. That is just fear masked as intuition. Intuition is more likely to say, this isn't right, or this is my next step. It's actually quite rare, in my experience anyway, for intuition to give me a because. In fact, I think it would be so much easier if it gave us a because. And sometimes if you're working with your spirit guides, they can add some context to the intuitive feeling that you're getting. But I add this in because I want you to be so careful that if you're feeling or catching yourself, hearing yourself using statements like this, I want you to identify it and start to break it down, because chances are there is something intuitive in there, but it's being masked by fear or a projection about what is going to happen. Okay, the next common mistake that I've often witnessed and sometimes also experienced myself is that intuition is not what you want to hear. And I kind of hinted at this in one of the earlier comments, but our intuition is quite often a bit of tough love, and it requires us to make tough choices and tough decisions. Not always, but certainly the more that we're following our intuition, the more likely it is that we're going to come up against things that really challenge our internal makeup, that are going to challenge our beliefs, our perceptions, our understandings of ourselves or our world or the people around us. And so, like I said before, not only is intuition not a guarantee to a particular outcome, it's not always what you want to hear. And on the back of our last point around fear and projection, sometimes we can lose the intuitive message because we actually don't want to hear it. So in my example of leaving PR, I went through various phases of this, but there was certainly a time that I didn't want to hear it. And I didn't want to hear that I had to change my job. I didn't want to hear that I had to completely rewire how I thought about myself. Actually, when I was on stage at the Run the World conference on the weekend, this sort of came up as part of the conversation, and the MC asked me, or reminded me, that late last year I shared that I was in the middle of channeling for a couple of hundred people online in an online webinar. And while I was in the middle of channeling, I could also hear my own guidance come in. It wasn't verbalized, it was underneath the channeling. And I was told to step back from my business. And so that was not at all what my ego wanted to hear. I had changed things up and was moving in a new direction, and I was excited about what was coming. And then, you know, my guidance came in and said, stop. So at this point, a decade on, I know to follow that. So immediately I paused everything and I honored that guidance, but it wasn't what I wanted to hear. And because I've done a lot of work internally in how to make those choices and how to make those decisions and how to honor, you know, these big asks that intuition gives us, it wasn't so hard for me late last year to do that. What I recommend is that you start small and work up to bigger decisions in your life for a number of reasons. But sometimes on those bigger decisions, especially around career or finances, our key relationships or key behaviors, if it's not what we're ready to hear or what we want to hear, it can take quite a lot of resources and processing for us to actually act on the guidance that we're given. So I always recommend to people, start working with your intuition on something small first. And it may be just having a month or two of, what do I want to wear? What do I really want to eat? What do I want to do today? So that we, through trial and error, become more familiar with how our intuition, how our body, how all of the signs and symbols are working. So that by the time we're at the big decisions, we've practiced. We have, through trial and error, come to understand what it is that we need to do. So let's move on to the fifth mistake, or common mistake, that I see when people are working with their intuition. And actually, number five and number six kind of go hand in hand. But number five is, intuition is not a fling. Really, this is a long-term commitment, guys, which is challenging, right? Because we live in this day and age of instant gratification. And so the idea of a long-term commitment can feel long, and it can feel, at times it can feel kind of burdensome even, that, oh my gosh, I have to commit to something, or I have to change. They're not always easy things for us to do. Now, I just mentioned before about starting small and working up to the bigger choices and bigger decisions that can be made intuitively. And so naturally, when the stakes are smaller, it's kind of easier, right? It's like, oh, I know what I want to eat, or, oh, I know what I want to wear today, because the stakes are smaller. And so you can kind of try it once or twice and think, oh, I don't really know what all of this is about. There's no big fuss in this. But you know what? You want to develop that relationship, because when the big decisions come, it is quite difficult to trust someone or something that we haven't taken the time to truly get to know. So this does actually require some time to cultivate this kind of relationship. It also means that over time we start to see patterns. When we can start to see the patterns, we have, I guess, a sense of tangible proof. Our mind is conditioned, so it becomes easier for us to make these choices and decisions because it turned out okay on those smaller things previously. So, in my opinion, we can't treat our intuition with disregard or with such frivolity that we don't honor it as something so integral to who we are. So it's not a fling, but a long-term commitment that can grow and change and evolve over time. So that when we've got a big ask to make, we have laid the foundations and the groundwork first. Number six, like I said, is quite closely linked with what I just shared in that fifth common mistake. But the number six common mistake is that intuition is not a relationship of convenience. You can't pick and choose when you listen. So sure, while you're learning, it may feel a little bit stop and start. And so I'm not so much commenting on that. It's more, okay, you've been at this for a while and you know that you should be following your intuition and yet you still opt out. And you have that choice, absolutely. But we need to be mindful that if we're picking and choosing, we're not going to have the same full effect of following our intuition. So I don't mean here that it will go away. Our intuition is always there. It is always serving us. But without cultivating that relationship and the depth and the trust in it, we can't always feel like we know exactly what our intuition is asking us to do. So sooner or later, and sometimes this does come a little later in the process, you actually will be asked to firmly commit to this. Are you in or are you out? You also can't hide behind your intuition either. And I did touch on this earlier about wrapping up our projection in an intuitive statement. But because at this time we're talking about our intuition as a relationship and not one of convenience, we also need to be mindful of those statements that, oh, well, my intuition says that it's okay that I don't do this thing. Well, actually, your intuition is probably asking you to look at what the because statement is. Your intuition actually wants you to come deeper inside of yourself and do the inner work. Ultimately, that is what our intuition is here for. Our intuition is not necessarily about taking us to the outer world, the jobs, the careers, the money, the homes, the travel, the experience. They're byproducts. Our intuition is here to take us on an inner journey. And that inner journey is going to ask us to clear out physically, mentally, emotionally, and energetically or spiritually all of the things that are not truly in alignment with who we are and why we're here. And so when we have statements like, oh, I just intuitively feel that I can't do this thing yet, I want you to really, really check that that is true. And yes, sometimes it will be. But what I'm finding is often those kinds of statements aren't entirely true. And there's still more underneath them for us to deep dive into. And if we have a relationship of convenience, we're not getting into the depth of things, right? We just want to stay at the surface where we have a better job or a happier relationship or a better bank account. And so when we set out, we may be able to get away with it. But sooner or later, our intuition is going to keep nudging us to do the inner work. And that can feel very inconvenient. So they are six of the common mistakes that I have seen when people work with their intuition. They're by no means all of the common pitfalls or mistakes, but and nor are they in any particular order, but I wanted to bring them up as some of these were sort of touched on as I was speaking at this event on the weekend, and it got me thinking about, oh my gosh, there's still so much for me to say on this topic. I would love to hear from you how this sits with you and what you're finding. Is this something that you have experienced or are experiencing? So please do come on over into the Facebook group. The links to that will be in the show note for this episode. If you're still new to intuition or you're learning how to follow it, or perhaps you're hearing that you're getting trapped or caught up in some of these common mistakes and pitfalls, I would recommend for you to look into my guided living program. In that program, we focus on essentially what is intuition 101, but we also then go into what happens when you start to follow it and this inner transformation that begins for you. So it's a perfect introductory program if you're new to this or if you just need a refresh. Maybe you've been following your intuition for some time, but you're hearing some of these common mistakes and thinking, oh, maybe there is room for me to expand or grow and change here. So I will add the links to Guided Living in the show notes, which you can either find at helenjacobs.co/podcast, or if you're listening to this in iTunes, just where it, within the app there, you'll find the show notes too. Perhaps a pretty good indicator if this program or any of the opportunities to work with me are for you is to actually sit with this intuitively and actually feel into the supports that you need. It may or may not be my programs. There may be other work, other books, other materials that are coming into your awareness. But if you've been thinking about working with me or wanting to work with your own intuition, then I encourage you to take some time after listening to this episode and really tune in to what it is you need. And if it happens that I can serve you, I would be honored to do so.